Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from a soon-to-be-disclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 219, The Blair Witch.
Nope. Just Blair Witch.
There's no the?
There's no the.
Son of a bitch.
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, I thought there was a the.
Nope.
If you want to whisper the and then project.
Or just go.
They'll always be that.
Blair Witch.
Or the sequel, The Blair Witch, The Book of the Shadows.
Now we're told this might not even be a sequel.
Well, so I want to hear more about that.
What's going on here? So let's go around the table real quickly and everybody can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. And we have a guest returning.
Hey, it's Andy Treifenbach, owner and editor in chief at DestroyTheBrain.com.
There we go. He's our horror movie expert, Joe. Take that.
Whoa.
Zang.
Okay, now
I've been replaced.
Joe.
Replaced.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on.
So,
the Monster Squad.
Awesome.
Turn off his mic.
You know, it might be a generational thing.
It is a generational thing.
Yeah, I know it is.
So what is your Monster Squad that you grew up with? Is it like Monster from Black Lagoon? Or what is your
Monster
creature?
From the Black Lagoon?
Damn it, Kevin.
Abbott Costello meets Frankenstein.
Yeah. What is your bad?
That is actually one, but because of the accessibility. The accessibility of Abbott Costello meets Frankenstein is because it was always on.
Yeah.
Locally, so that was like probably my Monster Squad.
Really?
And it's not because of the age thing.
Had all the monsters in it?
Yeah. It's because it was always on. And actually, the monsters were actually true to the
universal design,
which I prefer.
They couldn't touch the universal design.
So that's why it sucks.
when did Black Lagoon come out?
I think that's like 52, 53.
Yeah. So when did Abbott and Costello come out?
Well, their first film?
From their mothers.
From the womb. When did Meet Frankenstein come out?
I think that's like 49.
Okay, so the creature wasn't even around yet.
Right.
Okay.
There's pre-creature.
Right. Yeah.
It was just the monster back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that 48 was Meet Frankenstein.
Okay.
That's pretty good for the top of my head.
Yeah. Was Clint Eastwood in the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
what?
He was in That was one of his first films.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's got like two lines.
Right.
That's who he was a contract player.
Look at him next to his kid. Look at him in that movie, and then look at Scott Eastwood.
Yeah, totally.
Creepy. And the creature, I think, is the only from the Black Lagoon, is I think the only one Abbott Costello didn't make a movie.
I think that's right.
But they did find something. But there is, they did a Black Lagoon sketch on the Colgate Comedy Hour.
Right. Yeah.
And just to tie it all together.
And so there is Abbott and Costello Meet the Creature from the Black Lagoon like footage, but it's just like one, I think, like 20-minute segment that they did on.
Interesting.
The Colgate Comedy Hour was like a live show, and it would rotate hosts every week. So there's like Martin and Lewis hosted it, Abbott and Costello hosted it. It would.
The creature was my
the creature's the best looking. That's a good looking creature for 1950.
And honestly, there's only three movies, and it's the saddest.
When
you watch the ending of the third one, you're like, oh God. And as a kid, I was like, what? What is he doing? He doesn't have gills anymore. It's very sad.
Those are good. Those makeup effects for 1952.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that was a fully functional scuba gear.
Yep,
there was a tank built into that suit and everything.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah.
He's no fish man. Nope. But.
Or Swamp Thing. Gill
Man. That's right. Oh, man. Swamp Thing. Or Man Thing.
Yeah.
I like
I don't like to brag. So, Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon.
Even your microphone's like, no.
I'm embarrassed for you. I can't even make mistakes properly. What is that about? Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Go.
So, this one picks up. So the original one obviously is 1999. They don't give us. Did they give us a year in this?
Yeah, 2014.
So she's been gone this long, and he's just now getting around.
Well, he was four 15, when it happened.
15 years.
Okay,
he was four, so he couldn't do it when he was four.
Yeah, yes, that's a big age difference.
That's what I'm saying. Like she was probably in her 20s.
Like they should be
right. Like you,
yeah,
she's in her early 20s.
It was a college project.
It was, yeah, right. So I think you can safely say she was. Let's say she's 22.
When yes, right.
She drank.
That's true.
Well, it's, yeah, nobody would ever
break
the law.
21. Yeah. That is the legal age.
Right. Like, so she's not a lawbreaker. She grows pot now, though.
Yeah, she does. He's what we call a whoops baby.
Yeah, that has to be. But if he's a whoops baby, I feel like there should be some more in between. Like, that's what that
maybe
whoops
those are whoops babies. Yeah.
No, if there's a bunch in between, those are called Catholic babies.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
That connection does not really get made very well.
No, it's just like, it's my sister.
It's, yeah. It's my sister. That's it.
Yeah.
I think it's called plot device.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Right.
Yeah, but what's ridiculous about this, and this is where now you've set me off.
do it.
With Blair Witch Project, the whole thing, the actual movie was supposed to be a product of Hacks and Films, which the mother of Heather commissioned. Like, hey, here's all the footage that was just uncovered and released to us by the police. Can you make sense of this? And they edited it all together.
So there was there was a fictional production company inside the movie itself.
And what doesn't make sense about that is if this kid was actually the brother, you'd think he know about that whole ordeal as opposed to, hey, I just found this on YouTube.
Yeah, I thought that was very true. Yeah. Well, also, it's one of those things where they find all this footage. It's like, who edited it?
Right.
Yeah. We've said before.
The sound guys.
Yeah, the sound guys.
Yeah.
So he is.
I also question, like, how obsessed you would be with a sister who died when you were four. Like,
a sister you didn't know.
Right.
Like, it's not like,
I miss her. No, you don't.
You don't even know her.
I barely remember anything before age five. So.
Yeah. And you didn't have a sister abducted by a supernatural entity. Yeah. Wait.
I guess maybe.
Did you? You didn't have a. This could be really awkward if the answer is yes. I'm going to feel like a dick.
No, I'm an oil child. Okay. So it's all right.
So he is. So he sent this in an email. He found it on YouTube. Okay, yeah. So it's
because which actually that video is on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah. The real video. Yeah, but
I think this guy feels more like a Vimeo kind of guy.
Yeah.
but the hillbilly that uploaded it is on YouTube. Yeah,
fair enough.
Sure.
Yeah. Fair enough. So he sees this video and he is automatically under the assumption that it's his sister that has gone missing 15 years earlier. So he gathers up.
Well, in his defense, right as the video ends, she says bean crock.
It's actually 20 years earlier. Yeah. Remember the Blair Witch Project, 1994.
It
came out in 99, but the
footage is from like 95.
This footage was found.
I'm telling you,
this really does not make any sense whatsoever.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So I've seen Book of Shadows.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know any better back then.
No one knew any better.
I watched it this weekend.
Yeah. So that movie. You have no excuse. Right.
But I watched it with the commentary, and I highly recommend that if you want to go down that dark rabbit hole, watch it with the commentary where the guy just repeatedly says, this was not my intention.
That's what they said in the first one.
That's what they say in the Blair Witch commentary, too. They're always like, this was an accident. That was not supposed to happen.
He's like, the studio keeps fucking me up.
That one plays big time with like time loss and what you're seeing isn't really what you're seeing.
Right.
And this one does that too. And I am shocked that they went the route where they combined two movies.
Yeah.
So what we were saying earlier, do you consider Army of Darkness a sequel to Evil Dead 1?
No. No, I would say a 2.
So this movie is in the same boat. It's a reboot.
Because 2 is the movie they wanted to make, so 3 would be after 2. Like,
right.
They remade
so
it.
So 1 is it's its own thing,
it's by itself.
So
then,
this is not a sequel.
It's
a reboot.
I thought it was a sequel slash remake.
But wait a minute, hon, you'll have to refresh my memory, because I saw 2 in theaters, and that was the last time. So But two is a sequel to one, right? What are they doing in two? They don't mention the original kids or anything.
So yeah, two. We're talking about the Evil Dead 2, yes. Not Blair Witch.
No, Blair Witch.
You're talking about Book of Shadows.
Yeah. Okay, Book of Shadows. Here's the thing: Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. Just to clarify everything, recognizes the Blair Witch Project as a film. And the whole belief is they don't know if it's real or not. Right. And there are believers like, I know it's real. I know. Actually, that's how it starts with Jeffrey Donovan, who, you know, would later go on the Burn Notice. But he's like, I know it's real. And he would bond with people.
Oh, so they recognize it as a movie.
But they still think it's a real documentary.
Sure.
Which obviously blurs the line of what was really happening when the Blair Witch Project came out. Right. But yeah, it was just a movie, and then they would find, you know, that these believers believed in the legend of Blair Witch, and they would come out to Burkittsville and do like the tour. That was the whole catalyst of the movie.
And then they end up in that house, and then the girl ends up being the witch, or like there's no either way. Like they start messing with time, and they start messing with your like the viewer's perception of what is actually happening, because you as a viewer will see. What is going? Like you'll see all the actors in frame, and then the actors will go back and watch a video, and it's completely different. Which, like what's happening on the video is completely different.
Don't
they do
that in like Paranormal Activity or something where they watch? There's another movie that does.
One interesting thing that I might as well just point out, maybe save you the time from watching Blair Witch 2,
please,
is basically in the commentary, the director actually states that everything you see on video is what really happened.
Okay.
Everything on the 35mm actual film is suggestive.
It's like their perception of what happened.
Yeah, it's their perception of what happened.
Okay.
And that's why towards the end, you don't really get what's going on. And then it's supposed to end with like this long interrogation scene where revealed to the viewer. But the problem was the studio kept saying, hey, let's put in these snippets of gore and everything, which kind of convoluted everything.
That's true. So in this one... everybody seems kind of normal. The girl, the love interest, I guess.
Lisa.
He's got a crush on this girl.
She's making a documentary about tragedy.
Yeah.
Which, more rabbit hole stuff. You can actually find a Kickstarter of the film that she's making for this guy. Yeah.
So they tried to Blair Witch Project.
Hang on. So there's a Kickstarter for the. So what happens if you give money to this Kickstarter?
So, no. It's been done since 2014. That's the great thing. Like, they did a really good job with the viral marketing, because if you were to Google the absence of closure Kickstarter, you will find Lisa's project called The Absence of Closure. And it's a documentary, I think, about two or three subjects. And one of them is the guy from James. Blair Witch. Yeah, James.
Wow.
And how he lost his sister, and how there was never a sense of closure.
Okay.
And the journey of that is finding closure for this by finding the video on YouTube.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
so, okay, this is the problem already.
Right.
So they're doing, there are all of these different threads to this movie that there doesn't need to be. And you know what? I like Adam Wingard. I think Adam Wingard,
he's pretty aces in my book.
You know, like he's done some pretty cool. Did he do The Guest?
He did The Guest.
He did House
of
the Devil.
Same writer did that. No, that's Ty West.
Okay.
He did You're Next.
Yeah. And so he's got a pedigree of like independent horror.
Right.
And I thought that this was going
to
be
was his chance.
This
to
was
the
it.
Big
this is going to be, he's going to rise to the levels of Fede Alvarez or James Wan. And I think he failed. I think he tried to do too much with it. He tried to get too cute with it. He tried to throw too many things.
I think at a certain point, I felt like I was just watching a new generation of the same movie.
I was like, this is the same movie.
I haven't seen The Blair Witch Project or, again, the second one. I mean, I watched Blair Witch Project on video at some point. Two I saw in theaters, never watched it again. But when I was watching this, I'm like, it's just almost like a remake of The Blair Witch Project.
That's what
like,
it is.
All this is a modernization.
It's this weird.
It's just there's more people, so they can have more people get peeled off.
Right. And more technology, more cameras,
it's this weird
coverage. Yeah, it's this weird combination of one and two. Like, that's what it is. It's this very strange...
Well, it borrows the concept of time loss from 2 and the possible influence of the Blair Witch.
Right,
right.
I mean, I will tell you right off the bat, I was a huge fan of the Blair Witch Project. I saw it 6 times in the movie theater. Read all the mythology, so...
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a fantastic...
Yeah. Which was amazing.
Yeah.
Especially at the time, because we had the technology... was limited.
Right.
Like they were kind of on top of how
they
internet
were on the verge
worked.
Of like actual, you know, people, you know, I mean, there's
it
always
was viral
been like
before there was
millimeter.
Really viral.
Right. But there's always been 8mm like filmmaking in the '70s and stuff, but it was video was so accessible that it was on the verge of an actual technology to consumer, accessibility. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, when you talk about the movie as Blair Witch Project, it was obviously the catalyst of viral marketing. Mm-hmm. And there's such a deep mythology that they created.
Yeah.
Because when I watched that documentary,
right,
and you went to the website,
right.
And I mean, I remember it was a phenomenon. People were involved in this thing.
Yeah.
It
seems like the people that didn't like the Blair Witch Project never really
got deep into
the mythology.
Right.
Whereas me, I was just like soaking everything up.
I think they also felt like it was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And I saw the movie like about 6 weeks before it opened.
Okay.
I was working in Radio Time. I got the screen passes when they used to come on cardboard.
Sure.
And it had that slug line of like in 1994, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know,
three
years later, their footage was found. And I remember calling, and we would get all sorts of art house stuff because it was the alt rock station, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember calling right then. I'm like, I'm in, man. This is a great idea. I'm totally in.
Right.
And so I saw it at the point where it was like you were pretty sure it wasn't real, but there was still just a little kernel of that left, you know.
But you'd never seen anything like it before.
But I'd never seen anything like it before. But I remember when it was over, like Pete, who still does all the movies in town, was like, "What'd you think?" And I was like, "I'm not sure. I really liked it, but I'm not sure." And I finally called him like 3 days later, and I was like, "I've decided that I think this movie is great." And he was like, "How did you go from not sure to great?" And I was like, because it's all I've been able to think about for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if a movie can get in my head like that, like then they did something right.
That was the first time I remember walking out of a movie and just feeling like despair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't see her. You don't see the witch. You know.
So you didn't feel cheated.
You didn't feel cheated. You don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, and 9
and
times
you still
out of
weren't
10,
sure if it was fake or not. So you were like, did these people all die?
Well, when I saw it the next day, there's a Steak and Shake commercial with the same chick. So it's like, of course.
And it wasn't too long after they were making the rounds on the Tonight Show.
Yeah. But like, that's the first time I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah.
The original Last House on the Left.
Yeah.
And this one are like,
they're bleak.
You walk out of there just being like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a bootleg VHS of this a few weeks before it came out. So it actually made it more effective.
Yeah. Probably, yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Me, because like, my buddies and I, we all watched it and I was like, ooh. You know, it was creepy because we're all like, you know, and we saw it on a small screen, you know, in a dark room.
Yeah,
and it was.
It's a movie that I think lends itself to being seen on lesser technology.
Yeah,
I think that's
definitely
true.
Yeah.
And also what they were really smart about that one is they build it. It's a slow burn from the
get. Right.
When you get to that last 5 minutes where you hear Josh screaming in the woods, you're just like, what is, you know?
Which they try to do the same thing with this one. This one starts off slow.
It's not
movie.
The, like, to me,
but I mean,
think it's slow. It's not slow. Like,
doesn't really develop the characters.
I think the difference is in the original, it's slow, but like, it's still feeding you information.
Building.
I felt like this movie never really fed
it
you.
Never
all that
told
much.
You. Yeah.
And so
I feel like it expected you to know.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason like the end works so well, like that last run in
2 minutes, like that's all it is.
Is because like normally if in a movie you know the jump scares are coming, and so if you're not a fan of jump scares, you tend to like focus on other things or focus on the fact that jump scare is coming.
Are you looking behind the person?
Right. And so it's like, but this movie, you're so into it. The original.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so into it that like you are like hyper focused on that screen looking for some sort of clue as to what's going on.
Right.
The filmmakers really forced you to be like, I can't remove myself from this film to lessen the impact of their jump scare, because if I do, I'm not going to be able to figure out what was going on.
Well, that's Paranormal Activity was the same way. Mm-hmm. That first Paranormal Activity, when you see that on a big screen, we've gone through the Blair Witch. We know that something is going to happen. Something's going to come out of the shadows. Or something's going to move.
Right.
And they build that tension in the first Paranormal Activity where it's just like, you're looking in the shadows. You're looking behind them. You're looking everywhere. And sometimes they wouldn't do it. Like, it'd be like a sheet would move.
Yeah. It's all in the setup of the shot, right?
Right.
Because it's a static shot. And all you're doing is you're waiting for something to happen. So you are, your eyes are literally scanning everything, every object in that frame, waiting for something to happen. And then sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. So this one, he gets all his buddies together.
And lots and lots of cameras.
Lots of cameras. So
they make sure they cover cameras. That.
Yeah, which, I mean, given technology and where we are now, I'm fine with
technology.
Yeah, the drone camera, I totally make sense.
I just
sense.
Knew that we were going to have a lot more coverage. You know, like with the original one, there was a limitation of like audio and three cameras.
Right.
Yeah. It was a high 8 and a 16 millimeter.
Right. And the audio, that's why sometimes the audio would be muffled because it was separate. This one, it was like, you knew they had, like, everybody has a pretty sweet HD camera.
Right.
They switched back and forth to every person. Like, every shot was like, wow.
What's interesting, though, is the group of kids that go with James and Lisa, they all have high-tech gear. Like, they even have, like, the earpieces with the camera, DSLR, which is the majority of the footage, and then the drone footage that pops in every once in a while. But when they meet the guy to lead them into the Black Hills, he's got, like, a consumer grade.
Are we to assume that's Heather's camera?
No. I don't think so.
I didn't take it
But I see where you're getting that from, because there is a question like, hey, what kind of tape does that take?
Right, where did you get that?
But I think that was more to lead you in that they might have faked some of the
footage. I took it that they were faking footage. So he had the same camera. That's how he sucked them in, thinking that he had found footage of his sister.
Okay.
Which we'll get into, by the way.
It poses the question, like, why haven't you upgraded? It's 2016, right?
Well, and also, like, I also think, like, when you see the couple, it's like, they wouldn't upgrade.
I still think that they are more like the podunk. They lived in this city.
Exactly.
They grew up in Burkittsville. They're not from, like, the big city.
Right.
So they've got this mini DV camera. Yeah. And so I thought that was cool that they used that, and you got that look that was kind of like the first movie.
The first
you know,
movie,
you
yeah.
got that original video.
Better,
but I want to reenact the scene because, right off the bat, they establish these characters as maybe we shouldn't trust them. And then there's the scene when they're crossing the stream, and she's like,
never cross the streams.
Yeah, well, she says something like, are you sure about this? And he basically says, here, hold the camera so I can give you an ominous look.
Right.
And he gives her a look like, I'm the bad guy. Yeah. And it's like, well, that was subtle.
So there's also some weird body horror beats in this that don't make any sense, right?
Oh, or get paid off.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get paid
off.
Confederate flag doesn't get paid off.
Well, I feel like
I think that was for the joke.
That's what I thought too.
I mean,
like
I think
the black
guy,
guy
could look
black,
at it like,
the
are
black
you serious?
Guy sees it, he's like, come on.
Yeah, but I also took it like there's going
They'd
to
be racist,
some sort of conflict.
Tension.
Like we're setting the groundwork that it's going to go bad.
I see what you're saying.
Because
it was gonna start to get Deliverance.
I always I always thought that was the audience joke because you know, I mean, let's face it, a minority is part of the horror audience.
Right.
So they're already saying, hey, we're gonna connect with them right here.
Right. And then we're going to make sure this guy's...
Then we'll still take out the black people first.
Yeah, right. Well, no, just one of them.
Yeah.
And then the other one sticks around for a while.
Yeah. But she gets incapacitated.
Yeah. Right.
But I'll tell you, that body horror with her...
Why? Why was it there?
It was just gross. You know, that was
there
the
was
one
nothing,
thing in
there
the
was
movie.
There was no reason for it to be there.
Well, why not? I mean, why not?
Tell but me. I mean, like,
it doesn't even go with the mythology.
Yeah, like the Blair Witch, there's no gore.
Yeah.
I see what you're
you know
saying.
What I'm saying?
Okay. It was like, all about mood.
Which
all
is
about
why
mood.
I think, I mean, here's the thing. My biggest problem, I don't mean to skip ahead.
Oh,
but,
that's what we do.
But, I mean, if this was a sequel, it would stick to the mythology. It would stick to the rules set by, you know, even if you were to say, let's ignore Blair Witch 2, we're just going to focus on Blair Witch Project. It ignores everything.
What were the rules?
So here's the thing. With the Blair Witch Project, it was just they heard noises. There were rocks involved, like the pile of rocks, which mainly a lot of people would believe that it's not that you spend the night in the Black Hills that does it. It's that Heather or I can't remember Josh. If it was Heather. I think it was Josh. Yeah, it had to be Josh because Josh kicked over a rock. Heather puts the rock back, kisses it, and she's like, you can never be too careful. And that would give possibly the reason why Josh was first.
Was Josh? Oh, Josh was first. Yeah, yeah. The other guy stuck around too. Yeah, that's yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, like, there was never any
the stick figure
possession
things, right?
Or body horror in the first right. one. So that tells me, like, okay, you are rebooting it. You are setting new rules.
Right. So, I mean, look,
they're expanding the rules.
Halloween. But I don't think they're expanding. I think they're just reinventing, saying, "Hey, let's do this because it's creepy."
Halloween is a prime example.
I totally agree. I think I kept sitting there like, I don't think that was part of the deal before.
Right. Nope. Well, like, there's like another scene. There's another scene where one of the gals takes one of the stick figures and breaks it in half.
Yeah.
And it kills, snaps the back of another. And you're just like, whoa, wait.
Yeah. I was like, somebody's head's going to spin around backwards and they're going to spit out green pea soup.
Well, to go back to like it's Halloween. Like the original Halloween, there's not a drop of blood in that movie.
Right.
When Rob Zombie gets a hold of it,
of course, it's got
buckets upon buckets of blood. So, yeah. So they get to the woods. And they're crossing this creek, and
I believe it's pronounced crick.
Crick. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. And the girl, one of the girls cuts her foot. Right. So they immediately wrap it up, and she continues to walk. And I was like, I feel like that was a pretty deep cut. You shouldn't be able to walk on that. That's, get out of there.
And it's not a problem again for
till it becomes important.
Till they need it to be a problem.
A plot device.
Yeah. Right.
So they get there. They're getting into the woods, and this is they kind of set up camp. And they go to bed, and they realize, like, they wake up the next day, and it's like 2 p.m., and they're like, what the hell happened? So they wake up, and all of the twigs are there. Like, and then, so, like, in the original one, I feel like you didn't get the twigs right away.
No, you didn't.
So, like, immediately.
There's a handful of them. There.
Right. Yeah. So, immediately, you've had a time jump, a big time jump, and you've got the stick figures already.
Yeah.
So,
but,
it's just.
But the first stick figures are. It looked like, you know, something you got at, like, a Michael's. You know?
They were very clean. Yeah. They were very put together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They look like, you know, cheap autumnal decoration.
Right. I mean, the original Blair Witch, they slept fine overnight. No problem. That's why I said that belief was that the rocks is what did it, because they were disrespecting, because those seven rocks were for the seven children from the Rustin Park, which will lead me to something else when we get to the end. They heard voices and noises and outside of their tent. That was in the original. That was what kind of started off, like, what the hell's going on?
The Blair Witch didn't pick up their tent and throw it through the air.
Also, you don't hear animal noises. Like, it wasn't animal noises. It was just, like, rustling outside or somebody touching their tent.
And children's voices. Which leads to this whole background
Like,
story.
None of that was there, so.
Right.
You didn't hear the T-Rex from Jurassic Park?
in the original
one? Or the monster from Godzilla?
The original one, no. So, yeah, they wake up the next day, and they're just like, you know what? And this is one of those tropes in horror movies where everybody's like, no, we should stay. And this one, they're all like, we're leaving.
Yeah, right.
We're out of here. Right. So they all start walking out, and they realize they're stuck.
Yeah.
Like and then it becomes very apparent that Tweedledee and Tweedledum have set this whole thing up to get them into the woods.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't believe, you know, otherwise they
Which
wouldn't believe
Which I thought
them.
Was going to go into a different direction. And I was like, yes,
as well.
yes. Oh, you don't do that.
That's the way I thought. I was like,
You thought they were going to, like, start murdering and picking them up?
I thought they were going to be
And I think it gets a little convoluted towards the end. I think we need to save that part.
Yeah.
But okay. No, keep going.
I mean, there's a couple different ways that could have gone, and it just didn't
go any way that I thought it was going to.
It really didn't go up anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the two that have got them into the woods, kind of, there's a big brouhaha, and they are sent there. They're sent packing.
Well, one of the girls finds the twine.
She finds the twine inside the guy's back. The guy's backpack.
Let me see one of those stick figure things, and they match him up.
And it looks like he has set the whole thing up. But this is the part where I go back to Book of Shadows, where it's like, did they? Like, what am I supposed to believe, that they did set the whole thing up, or it's the Blair Witch already starting the paranoia and the
they did the sticks, but they can't. They couldn't have done the time.
No, they didn't.
I think they say
the sticks if you can't do the time.
Because they wanted them to come out and film and get the story more known.
Right.
That was the whole deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So they go their way, and then our core group goes their way,
which is nowhere.
It's a big
they 3 hours, and they yeah. end up back at
yeah,
the
yeah they
campsite.
End up back at the campsite. So they said, you know, we're just because the one gal is in pain. Like, we're just gonna camp here and we'll head back. Yeah. At this point, they start setting up cameras around the campsite. They're using the drone,
yeah.
which gets caught in a tree. Yeah. I guess
the one guy. The sort of reticent friend decides that he's going to go get firewood, and naturally, you got to go really far away.
You're in the
woods. Yeah, so you're in the woods. There's
I was like,
no,
you're in the goddamn like, woods. Dude, like, just go
not,
right there.
There's nothing but firewood around you. But no, I'm going to go over there.
Right.
You guys won't be able to hear me or see me, but don't worry. I'm okay.
I'll be fine.
I got
That's
a flashlight.
What the walkie-talkies were for.
Yeah, bring your walkie, man.
Depend on technology out in the woods.
Out in the woods.
Yeah.
So he goes, and then he hears some stuff in the woods, and he starts running. Does he see something?
He hears a bunch of crazy noises.
Yeah, so he ends up like a tree falls on him for no apparent reason.
A huge tree falls over.
Yeah,
but did it? But could anyone hear it?
Well, I mean, you start hearing
based on the box office. No, no.
You start hearing the noises, which are later attributed to possibly the Blair Witch, because
it was her ringtone.
Yeah. And I think the assumption is the Blair Witch just pushes the tree just to incapacitate him and like trap him and say, "Hey, now you are going to be my bitch."
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make any like. And also, okay, so one of the great things about that first movie is you don't see anything. You never see anything.
It's dark and you freak yourself out.
Well, not even that. Like,
they didn't have the budget.
You never see. Exactly.
Yeah, it was the shark at Jaws.
I was about to say the same thing. I almost said it like, a couple minutes ago. I'm like, it's the classic Jaws that like it wasn't working, so they had to find other ways.
To hide it.
And I think that the biggest problem with this movie, the single biggest problem, is that they weren't holding their own cameras.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that... And
it shows.
And it shows. And
you can tell.
And it shows because, and this is going to sound like a weird complaint, it's too good looking of a move.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Adam Wingard still knows how to frame a shot, and he can't stop himself from doing it.
Yeah.
And part of what made that movie good and work and feel authentic was that they didn't know how to frame a shot, and that even when they tried, they failed. The most iconic image of the movie is a poorly framed shot
on accident.
She thought she was fully in frame.
She thought she had her head fully in the shot, and they already hated her, and they really hated her because they thought they could hear that scene happening, and they could hear the audio, and they thought, oh man, she's finally giving us some top notch.
Right.
And then they saw the video, and they almost didn't put the scene in the movie.
Oh. Yeah. That's the most iconic scene of the whole thing. Yeah.
And so, but they had to hold the cameras, and so it really kind of it had this amateur low tech look because it was amateurs and low tech, and this thing does
not look that way.
There's too much coverage, like you said.
I thought
like
everybody's
got a camera.
I thought they were clever the way they addressed it because, like Joe said, the technology is believable that you could have like a Bluetooth earpiece with a camera.
Yeah,
except for when a person's talking to you and they're like bent over and the camera's sideways.
How about except for when a person
when they cut to their view and it's perfectly
right?
How about except for when a person sleeps with it running?
Yeah, well,
they wake people up and their earpieces.
I would tell you about battery life
and
drones.
Yeah.
No.
I was about to say that a minute ago too. I'm like, a battery life on a drone, a battery
it's
life
like 20
lasts
minutes.
If you're lucky, like if you bought a badass one.
Like, and you could throw in the whole aspect of time on this.
Yeah,
the batteries are like, well, the batteries were stuck in that time loop.
In your weird
like,
time
warp. No. All of these things would be out of juice.
Yeah. Everything would be out of juice.
Out of juice.
Yeah, because she kept like swapping out cards or whatever. But where were the extra batteries?
Yeah.
Right. You have to charge those things. You don't.
This ain't Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get there, and now our one character is gone, so we're down three already. And now this
one's
is,
in a tent.
One's in
a,
well, one comes out of the tent, and she's like, "I don't feel well." And I was like, "Oh, great! Here comes the puking."
Yeah.
Like, this is where she's gonna be the way. Like, this is the turn. Like, she's gonna be the witch. She's gonna be our villain throughout the rest of the movie. No, that does not happen.
Her leg, her injury on her foot, and then what's his face? James saw it do this weird twitch thing.
Wiggle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So this, I'm like
they didn't pay that off.
No, they did.
Well, she...
But, like, she pulls it out of her leg. Thigh.
Yeah.
She's becoming the stick man, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, because right, I'm like, was that twine?
It was just...
Yeah.
It had legs.
I have no clue.
It was it creepy really for creepy sense. Sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was creepy to watch, but did it make sense?
No.
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 But so then that little twitchy thing moved up her leg, and then she ends up... This is when she touches it, and pus is coming out. Yeah. And it's just totally gross.
Yeah, she has an infection.
This is where it takes a... Like, the movie takes a weird turn where it's like, wait a minute. Like, these movies were never body horror movies. Like, no. And now I've got this special effects scene where I've got yellow pus pouring out of this girl's leg.
Oh, yeah, at that point, so...
And she pulls something out of her leg.
Our two main characters are one way, and she's by herself, and then she sees the drone.
Yeah.
And for no reason...
Man, she climbs.
...decides to climb a tree.
A tree that had... perfectly placed limbs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was like a tree in American Ninja Warrior.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. You know,
it was like a climbing gym tree.
That's where they filmed that. I mean,
Because I'm like, wow, those branches are great.
Like, it was up so high. I'm like, how will that end?
And it really didn't make sense. Like, what was your was your drive to get
this
drone?
I'm going
to
fly my way out of here.
See you guys later.
Unless it was just like, you know, chaotic moment of stress. Like, I'm going to grab this drone so we can fly it up and get a way out of here.
Well, earlier she asked Lisa, she said, can we see the road? Put the drone up, and she found it was crashed. So she wanted to get it so they could launch it and find a way out.
But they already established. Like when they put the drone up the second or third time,
couldn't see anything.
Yeah, they were where's the road?
She's just trying. It's her grasp for survival. Yeah.
No.
Bad idea.
Didn't buy it.
So she falls out.
Like, why is she climbing?
So
the tree?
Then
that
someone
drone
this was.
Okay, dude, why is that drone still working?
Yeah, shouldn't
I
be.
Was at that point. I had turned into
the
Andy
fact
Rudy.
That it was still
why
going.
Is there,
it was still going and saying I'm malfunctioning.
So also, it's propellers are spinning really fast.
Still spinning because
okay. So
battery
she's
going
to cut her hands off. Like that's where I thought we were going with it.
But
and
now,
then,
did I see? Did a hand grab her?
Yeah,
when she went.
So she fell.
So that's a creepy moment. But she grabs for the drone, and a hand comes out.
Or slapped her hand away.
Yeah, it was like. No.
It's in the trailer. You can see it.
And then she falls out of the tree, and then her Bluetooth earpiece magically falls right next to her body
in
the
perfect shot,
framed.
And then she's drug away. Like, that's the end of that. Yeah. So now we're down four.
So are we to believe that a person did that, a possessed person, or the Blair Witch?
No, the Blair Witch. I think
this is what I'm saying, right? So they give you a detailed origin story of the Blair Witch.
Okay.
So, like, they hung her
again.
They hung her from a tree. They hung all this stuff off of her limbs. And I was like,
she may have been stretched.
Well, I was like,
Slender Man?
We're going to see it.
I'm trying to figure out, is the Blair Witch Slender Man in this movie?
Well, once we see the entity, I was like, oh, it's the thing from Close Encounters.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like,
and then at the end, I was like, are they going an alien route on this?
I felt like that's what it felt like.
I was like, are they? Yeah, because the lights and everything.
The lights and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many different movies going on.
What do you think? So was someone possessed and dragged her away? Like, is it one of the guys?
This is where it gets confusing when you get to the end. Yeah. So I want to say lead up to the end, and then we're going to have to just cut loose.
It starts pouring down rain. Both of our characters are now sprinting through the
woods.
But
the equipment was fine.
Equipment was totally fine.
I kept thinking, no fog, no water.
Yeah, no nothing. So James and they stumble upon the house. The house, what I assume is the house from the first movie.
Sure,
yeah.
And James
looks like it from my memory.
That's what, yeah.
Don't they go to the house in the second one, or is it a different?
No. They're like a loft, aren't they?
So no, they go to the site of the house.
Okay.
And the whole thing with Blair Witch 2 was that there was a huge. Or there was the foundation of the house.
Okay.
And then there was a tree in the middle of it.
Which, right.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that tree kind of
that's where all the sticks
come from. Yeah. It variates in the second film. So
So James thinks he sees his sister. And in my head, I was like, she better be in this goddamn movie. Like, that's the twist.
Right.
Is she's here.
Yeah.
Bean Croc.
Yeah.
I got that whole video... I don't want to jump. Just remind me to talk about that video that the brother saw, and he said,
"Well, I have a question about that too."
Oh, yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah. This is what I'm
like,
talking about.
Hold on.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think we're all thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
This looks familiar.
He goes into the house, or James goes in the house and is running through, and he sees the black guy standing in the corner,
yeah.
and like all of a sudden doors are closing around, and it's like yeah. a maze, right? So every time he turns yeah. around, something else
and
is
it
different.
And
they'd
already established that this house had secret nooks and tunnels and blah,
right.
blah, blah, because
how many levels
know, we're gonna
did
see
this
those
house
tunnels.
Have?
Well, so it's supposed
yeah,
to
this,
be three.
This house is like out of Wolfenstein.
I mean, yeah.
I was like, hold up.
This, it's huge.
It's supposed to be three with a basement, yeah. right? So he's running around, and he thinks he sees her. And then he kind of yeah. disappears. Like, we right. don't see him again. We cut back to Lisa,
yeah.
who now runs into the house. Like, uh-huh. she sees something in the woods.
Yeah.
And she sprints
oh, yeah.
into
she
the house.
She sees something that looks like a, kind of like a spaghetti monster.
No. She sees, like, something in a white dress first. Yeah. And then she yeah. sprints
Stevie
into the
Nicks.
House. Stevie yeah. Nicks. Yeah.
I didn't think it was white. I thought it was brown.
Either way.
Yeah.
Like, it
but
was,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
not
I saw a figure hunched down.
Yeah.
And then...
it pops up, and then she sprints into the house.
Yeah, and then yeah. there's also the weird shot where the guy's locked in the room, and you get, like, flashes of that person.
Yes.
Right.
Which
yes. get revealed who that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here in a moment.
So we see from Heather's point of view, not Heather, Lisa, the opening video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the mm-hmm. video that...
okay. I was like, am I crazy? But
so
is
no.
that the same
that's like,
video?
That's like the twist. It's like, so right. who she was seeing was her.
Was her.
In yep. the video.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. when he said, I think that's my sister, he was actually looking
at... he was looking at Lisa. So this is Book of Shadows.
Okay.
This is right out of Book of Shadows. This yeah. whole, like...
so
what you're seeing isn't
loop.
Reality. Time, yeah. weird time. So we haven't even mentioned the fact that Tweedledee and Tweedledum show back up. And like...
which one's Tweedledee?
Yep.
Which one?
Yeah.
Well, one's dead.
Is it Wayne? it's both of them.
Right? He shows up and he looks like a prospector.
Well, now because right, one like, got bent in half.
He yeah, looked,
well,
I just want to know. So Billy Joe Armstrong yeah. shows back up.
He looked like Johnny Castaway from that old yeah. screensaver where the guy's
yeah.
on a desert island.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the passage of time. He's grown a beard. Like,
right.
This shows
so
that it's...
he's grown a very good... stick on
see,
beard.
I thought he had camouflage on. I thought he just doused himself
no,
with like
he grew out a
foliage.
Big beard
yeah,
because
I,
of the time passage.
Yeah, no, I could buy that.
I think he looked at like he ran into the local Johnny Brocks and got himself
well, no, he just looked like somebody that,
costume.
So here's what I caught out of the glimpses that you see yeah. because let's be honest, I mean, you only get to see flashes in the room of him and then really up close, right?
Yeah.
I could maybe make out a beard, but to me, he was dressed in camouflage kind of foliage. Like he's been hiding out in the woods for a long time.
I did see a lot of muddy, like he was hiding for sure. Yeah.
So he's got, you know, grass and moss, and then he's got some sort of like a lot of brown stuff. So I would think, like, yeah, fatigues or like, you know, he just found brown fabric. And,
so anyway, so they show back up at the camp, and this is at this point, James and Lisa are the only two that are there. These two show back up, and they're like, "When was the last time you saw us?" And they were like, 5 hours ago.
Like,
we've
like,
been out here for
five days. Well, that was earlier.
Right.
He didn't mention it.
Yeah. Still an awful thick beard for 5 days.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, more to maybe for him,
yeah,
though.
Because
I think
he didn't have it at that point,
yeah.
but
more time has passed.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this is where, what's her name, takes the stick figure and snap, and the girl... the hick girl
Tweedledum
gets her back snapped, and
so
like,
now you're to believe it's a talisman of some sort.
Yeah,
it's
which is never a thing that's
it's
even
a voodoo doll.
Yeah, the whole like revisit to the camp. I know we're going backwards in time, but
right.
why not? But
this is a movie.
But
the
whole revisit to the camp made me feel like I just felt like they were straying from the formula.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, I don't know what they, you know, the body thing, and then like the stick girl thing. I was like, wait a minute, what are you
what
guys,
are we doing?
You're just making up stuff as
right,
you go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's creepy.
It's like, it feels more of a reboot because the deeper you go into the movie, it's like none of this stuff is really playing by the rules set
right.
previously.
So we get back into the house.
Lisa finds
James. Sees the footage, right? So as the viewer, we're like,
well, she doesn't see the footage. She lives
it. Well, what I'm saying is like, we
I don't
see,
think she notices, though.
Nobody
no, she
does.
No.
But
no.
as a viewer,
she's
you
shooting
should.
It. Because
it's the viewer. Right.
Yeah.
So... So she's running through the house, and then this is where we see the slender Blair Witch running behind her. And at this point,
have we never seen it before?
You've never seen it.
No. This is the first time we see it.
The only
time you can see the Blair Witch is through a Todd McFarlane
action figure.
Yeah.
He made it. There was a Blair Witch figure, and it was just like, well, how the hell do you
so
know
it's
what
like,
it looks
so
like?
So it is like
did
this
they, just
tall,
real quick, going back to the toy, when they made that toy, do you know, like, did they...
Yeah, he consulted with the creators.
It's like, but it's, what
was,
do you
like,
think
it's
it
in
would
a shroud,
look like?
But
there's nothing to it.
I was wondering if he just made it up, or...
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did, but he also worked and said, what do you think the Blair Witch would look like, and took some of those ideas, but obviously, I would think it's a McFarlane kind of original.
Right, but he
was working with them. Yeah, he didn't just was like, screw it, I'm making a figure.
Yeah, now I'm going to go tour with this baseball.
See you later.
Those figures were amazing.
Yeah, no, they
movie
were.
Maniacs. I've got, movie Maniacs were awesome. Yeah, I've got the Eric Draven and the Michael Myers and the Brundlefly.
Yeah. So when we see it, it's like this tall, slender man looking like
it's just alien.
Right. I mean, it's just a it's weird.
It's got really long legs.
But I mean, like, it's
really
exactly slender. What he would describe like, it to look like, right? So it had weights on it, weights on her feet and weights on her arms, so she was distended and
but
pulled apart.
These are really long. Like,
you're hanging from a tree.
Yeah, but your body, you're not stretched arm strong. You don't just you don't have an unlimited supply of stretch.
Yeah, I think imagine Groot make
for yourself.
Yeah.
It's a creepy Groot. Like, at a certain point, you're going to stretch it. They're going to pop off.
Like, it was obviously, like, it was outside. You see it outside before they go into the house because there's a short glimpse of that. And it kind of looks normal. But then there's a couple of shots, like, especially down a hallway where it's like, whoa, this thing is way too huge. Right. It's like hunching over, but you can see really long kind of spider legs.
It's like a stick figure monster.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's weird.
Lisa runs upstairs, and this is where we see
James is in the corner.
This is when it starts.
We see all the handprints, and I was like, okay.
Oh, good. We're back in the
also,
house.
I'm just like, great. I've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Not only did you see it in the Blair Witch Project, but you saw it in that YouTube video.
Correct. I've seen all of this already.
Yeah.
So they end up at the James kind of grabs her and says, don't look at her. Like, if you don't look at her, she can't hurt you.
So they run
into
the corner.
And I was like, is that a thing? Like, when was that? When did she become
Medusa? She's one of those ghosts from Mario Brothers that when you turn and look at it, they stop and then they, you know, follow you.
So you think, like, at this point, there's all these weird lights going. Like, it's lightning originally, and now it's, like, becoming longer and longer, and now it's all bright in the
room.
It's
starting to look like an abduction.
Yeah. So you think
the lights coming from outside were crazy. They weren't just a lightning.
It was all of a sudden we were in close encounters.
So I was like, oh, they're going to survive. Like, we're going to get out. Like,
oh, like someone found them and there's cars?
Well, not even that. Like, they're not going to look.
Wouldn't that be a nice ending?
That's how they're going to beat it. They're not going to look. She's going to give up.
What are you damn kids doing in that house?
And that's when they
pull off her mask.
I would have gotten away with the ones for old man Carruthers.
Yeah.
So, like, they're both standing there, and then Josh.
James
starts talking.
He says, it was all my fault. I'm so sorry.
He does the line.
He does that.
Like, you know, Heather. And she was like, who are you talking to?
Right.
And then, of course, he turns around and shoom, he's gone. And then they do it. Like, I will give him this. There's a pretty cool trick where she takes
the camera
and turns it around.
But the viewfinder's not working, so she's actually using the reflection.
Correct.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought it was the viewfinder.
No.
It's just a reflection.
From the light of the camera, she can see herself and kind of see back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But obviously, but the video is seeing everything.
So we're doing Medusa rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of like, you know, when you're making up your own rules, why not? But it's kind of funny. It's like, loophole.
When the girl fell out of the tree and hit the ground and it grabbed her, I don't think she was looking at it. Like, why?
No.
I'm like, this thing is just going to come up behind you and grab you. Like,
I mean, here's where I pull out my nerd card or something else. Nerd card, please. So the whole hiding in the corner, that has nothing to do with the Blair Witch. Nothing. Because the reason why they hid in the corner was back to the Rustin Parr thing. Because this is supposed to be Rustin Parr's house.
Right.
That's what the house is. It's Rustin Parr.
They killed all the kids.
Right. You don't remember who Rustin Parr was. Rustin Parr in the Blair Witch mythology was the guy in 1940 that killed 7 children. And what he did was he said, hey, children, hide in the corner because I can't take you guys watching me kill these other kids.
Right.
So go hide in the corner and do not look at me. That's where that comes from. It has nothing to do with the Blair Witch, except for the Blair Witch might have influenced Rustin Parr to kill these kids as a sacrifice.
Right. Okay.
But they were hiding in the corner in the other movies, too, right?
That's the thing, is like, it's not the Blair Witch they're hiding from, it's Rustin Parr, really. I mean, when you break it down, or it's somebody else influenced. Like, there's also this theory that Josh was influenced by the Blair Witch, and Josh is kind of mimicking Rustin Parr, which then you can bleed into this sequel/remake that the guy, Tweedledee, I guess.
Yeah.
is being influenced in the same way.
That's true. Okay, I could see that.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because he does. We didn't even mention that he takes...
he shows back up.
Yeah, we didn't even mention and one of the big stressful, crazy parts. Yeah, he throws her in through the cellar. Like, he captures her, throws her in the cellar, and she has to crawl. Yeah,
and I will say...
it turns into an Evil Dead movie.
It does. Yeah. And I will say that scene... was hard to watch.
That was intense.
Well, I will say,
it's from, just like The Descent.
From a film. Yeah, I compared it to the same thing on
very
the radio.
Claustrophobic.
But, I will say, like, the last 20, 30 minutes of this movie, I liked.
Yeah.
I just didn't really follow the Blair Witch all that much. Right. I felt like this is the part of the movie that Adam Wingard was interested in making.
Yeah.
Yes. And the stuff leading up to it, he wasn't interested in making.
I could see that for sure.
Because when you get to this part, once you get to the house, you're kind of off to the races.
And starts.
So Adam Wingard did something in VHS, right?
Yeah. Did he do two things in VHS.
Okay, so did he
do... VHS and VHS 2.
Did he do the bit with the hands coming out of the walls? No, that was
Radio Silence.
Okay.
That's a YouTube.
So that collective. Like that was the ghost house the, one.
Adam Wingard in the sequel, VHS 2, did the one with the eye.
Right, the bionic eye one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the scene is very similar.
I'm trying to remember what the hell he did now. It's been a while. But anyway.
There's a haunted house one in that one. Yeah, and this reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Where it's just bouncing around, all this other. But yeah, that scene where she has to crawl through a hole, basically, I had to look away because there's a where she gets stuck, and I can't watch this any like. So yeah, she gets out, and then we're reintroduced to Tweedledee, and then all of a sudden she has a knife. Wait a minute! If you had a knife the entire time, why are you just now using
it? I'm glad you've reached into your pocket.
Right. And she done kills him.
Yeah, oh yeah, she stabs him in the neck, and
he's dead.
But it's where you can assume that he might be under the influence.
That's what I'm thinking they're trying to say.
He says you have to do what she tells you.
He's being controlled. Yeah.
Right. So, I think that's always the theory, is that the Blair Witch was controlling him and basically alluding to, you want to get out of here, right? Yeah. Well, this is what you have to do.
Right. Yeah.
But then the whole thing, like, don't look at her, that doesn't really make sense, because
that was
never in the mythology. So why would they assume, like, just don't look at it, unless you're saying don't look at it because it's going
to
creep you out?
They had to get people in the corner.
She's shy because that's what people remember from the first movie.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen?
Remember the scary part with the guy in the corner and not even thinking about
Par
or any of that other stuff. Yeah. It's just like, well, we gotta get him in the corner somehow. So,
but that undermines what made the corner scary.
Yeah.
Right.
What made the corner scary was just his complete submission he had just given up. Like, he knew he couldn't win, and he was just hiding.
Right.
Like a child.
Right.
And like, to me, that's what made that image.
Well, it's also scary.
Totally agree.
It's also her. Like, she's screaming at him at the top of her lungs, and he doesn't move.
He doesn't recognize her at all.
So he's been married before.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Yes. Correct. James is gone. And then she's kind of starts to back her way out, like, backwards. And then all of us, like...
And she hears James.
She hears James, and he's like, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean this. This is the same thing you did earlier.
Yeah.
And she was like, boo! And then whoosh, she's gone.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
The end.
And I was really looking forward to this movie. I was super excited. I like Adam Wingard a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It totally missed the mark, in my opinion.
I think it had some good...
There were some good parts to it.
I don't think it was bad at all.
Probably were pretty good.
I just felt like I was watching the first one again.
If you want to do a sequel, do a sequel.
It didn't do anything like really original. You know, there was more footage. You know, it was better quality. But like, I came out of it not hating it, not saying it was awful. But I'm like, that was just kind of pointless. You know,
it seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, as somebody, you know, like I said, I was really deep into the mythology, and then when they started, like when he said, Heather, is that you?
Right.
I was like, oh, this is where they're going to bring in the time loop, and maybe she's across, like, on the other side of the wall or something. And no, that just gets ditched.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Where he
goes back to 1995.
Right. Or 94. Yeah. That would have been really interesting.
Like, or the guy in the corner.
I thought that's what was going to happen, was they were just going to be going through the house, and somehow they run into each other.
That would have been
pretty cool.
Yeah. didn't they? That would have made use of that time explanation in this movie. That was like one of the many missed opportunities.
That would have been a better way to kind of tie those two together, but.
But, like, if you know the backstory, like, the real-life story, Heather Donahue does not really want anything to do with Blair Witch anymore. That's why if you stayed... I don't know if you guys stayed through the credits, but they have special thanks, and it's Joshua Leonard and Michael Williams.
No, Heather.
Really? They always hated her.
And well, apparently, like, it just ruined her life, because...
They thought it was really...
But, I mean, they used the real names of the actors, right? They couldn't really get a lot of work.
And at the time, like, that was their only IMDb credit, because they were trying to... Because they hadn't done anything else, and they wanted it to look... Like, they were really these people, you know, but yeah.
And Joshua Leonard's moved on. Like, he's still pretty successful in film. Mike Williams is not. He's gone back to his day job. I think he does drywall, stuff like that.
He shows up at haunted houses and stuff sometimes, doesn't he?
Yeah, I remember.
He was in town
I remember him in 1999, Darkness.
Yeah.
The Darkness Haunted House had him. I actually had him sign a Blair Witch poster.
That's cool.
But, Heather Donahue's moved on. She doesn't want to talk about it. There's an article on The Guardian where she wrote it and kind of talked about her whole experience. Never got any money out of it. They all three of them never
like 10 grand, yeah. 30 grand.
But you would think that they would get some sort of kickback.
They want points on the back end.
Exactly. Right. And she had to be dead for a while. And then when she wanted to get into acting career, it just never worked out. So yeah.
She was in like one or two.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia in the first season.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I feel like she was in like a romantic comedy type movie.
She's been
not
in a
long
movies.
After this, but then it was supposed to be her like, look, I could be a real thing, and it just didn't
work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just my issue that
I think she still does work in the film industry, though. They project movies on her forehead.
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I the only thing I can refer this to is Evil Dead. The remake of Evil Dead took all of the tone and completely turned it on its head, but did their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, like they weren't there to party. They were there to get Mia clean,
right?
You know, and then things go bad from there. So if you're going to reboot it, I have no problem with we're far enough away from it,
right?
But you can reboot it for a new audience, but don't call it a sequel.
Right.
And then combine a movie that was a piece of
Yeah.
And then try to throw that mythology into your movie as well. Like, there's just too much going on. I don't know.
It's just a grab bag of things that are creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would defend that a little bit, because at least if it wasn't a reboot, right? If it's a sequel, at least they're sticking to the mythology that maybe Blair Witch 2 kind of introduced,
but Blair Witch 2, a movie that doesn't recognize the original as a movie,
yeah,
as a real life thing, like,
but
they recognize
if
it
you
as,
really think about
but
it
but they
right?
do think it's a real life thing,
yeah, exactly.
So
the question is, with the characters of Blair Witch 2, is they all believe it's real, because remember, there are people that believe it's real, and then there are people that believe it's a movie, which was a sign of 2000. You know, people are like, oh, it's a movie. And we all know it's a movie. But
is it?
There were true believers. And the thing is the whole movie, Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows, is a kind of commentary about the blending of reality and media. And, you know, what we see on video, it must be true, right? But everything else could be manipulated. I mean, there is a good deep meaning behind Blair Witch 2, but...
How dare you defend that movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good movie at all.
that's the issue that I take with this flick, is like, it tried to have its cake and eat it too.
Right.
You know?
I think its biggest mistakes are it didn't let the actors hold the cameras.
Yep.
And the original was so much of that was improv. And I get that you can't make a major Hollywood movie, blah, blah, blah. But like, part of what made that original feel so authentic as well is these three actors were really scaring the crap out of each other. They were telling each other ghost stories, essentially, and filming it. And then
the producers do something that they didn't know was going to, like, the actors did not know was going to happen.
It felt authentic because it,
because
was.
It kind of was.
Right.
Yeah, their reactions were authentic. They were really feeling
they
that
were just
way.
Given a general direction, like, you need to have a conflict with so-and-so.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they would come out in the woods with, you know, I mean, they even said later, like, some of the noises and stuff, they could tell it was from boomboxes, but it was still creepy because
right, you're in the middle
of
nowhere.
You don't know where it's coming from. And essentially, these filmmakers are in camouflage and they're running around.
Yeah.
And actually, the scene where they run out of the tent with the 16 millimeter and then they shut off all the lights, there was somebody in the trees. That's why that prompts Heather to say, "What the F was that?" Right?
Yeah.
But you can't see it on film.
Right.
And that's an accident because they weren't trained. Right?
Right.
They didn't know it was there. So,
It
all feels staged, and it's like the great intensity, and the reason why the Blair Witch Project worked for a lot of people, including myself, was because it felt authentic and it felt natural.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
as opposed to this, it's like, oh well,
it's all manufactured.
Yeah, and you know, like, I don't blame technology on that because I think people are a lot smarter as far as like framing shots and stuff like that now than they were back in 1999.
Oh no, I don't blame technology, and it's easy. It would also be easier to frame. Shot because the device isn't as bulky,
right?
I think Blair Witch would actually make a really interesting web series, or like somebody just says, "Hey, let's take this property. We're going to monetize it on YouTube, and we're just going to do a daily vlogger that just builds a story, just a normal familiar story where you connect with him as a person or her as a person, and then they're like, yeah, we're going on a camping trip somewhere in the Black Hills Forest."
Right.
And then it's the fan.
Well, that's the advantage of the original one is you care and it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
You know, and this one they're in the woods and they're getting terrorized within 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it misses. I think I would call this a base hit with an air.
Yeah, it's still better than two.
It is still better than two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got on base, but it's only because the second baseman bobbled the ball.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, actually, I was going to have a different one. I was telling Tom offline that I was trying to get a copy of The Last Broadcast, about the Jersey Devil, but I couldn't find it anywhere, and my resources were too slow in getting that accessed, I should say. So instead, there's a movie from 1995 called Forgotten Silver. It's a short movie. It's less than an hour. You can find it on YouTube, honestly, if you don't get all bent out of shape over
subtitles. It's about the declining years of the Lone Ranger's horse.
It's actually from Peter Jackson. This is pre...
really?
Yeah, pre Lord of the Rings. And it's a movie about this... director Colin McKenzie, who was a New Zealand director who somebody discovers like a trunk full of his old unprocessed films, similar to the documentary Finding Vivian Maier. If you have not watched
what about the Poughkeepsie tapes,
it's amazing.
That's another one on YouTube
that you can okay. tapes. Yeah,
yeah.
And so this director who had inadvertently invented the tracking shot, the close-up, the color film and sound in film, and also captured the first flight before the Wright brothers on film. And it's pretty entertaining. I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to give anything away. I'm just going to say that there's a lot of trickery in this movie.
Right.
And if you've seen the movie F for Fake.
I was going to say it's like F for Fake.
Yeah.
Or if you've seen Spinal Tap.
Right.
Uh-huh. This is really kind of aligns closer to those movies than the Blair Witch, but it is a found footage movie that precedes Blair Witch because there are a handful of those. Blair Witch wasn't the first one, and actually Lost Broadcast would have probably been the most apropos, but like I said, it's not easily found.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But
are you saying the Pirate Bay doesn't have it?
I don't know what that is.
yeah, it's hard to find that.
No,
that
let's
movie.
Just say that it was very slow. To yeah,
shipping.
Like,
shipping was very
shipping
slow.
Was really
it wasn't
gonna
available
be,
on Amazon Prime. Right?
It was really going to be a while.
At
before.
Least 3 to 4 days.
Yes,
yeah.
So I was like, well, here's this one on YouTube. I think it's highly worth your time, especially if you're a fan of Peter Jackson pre Hobbit.
Which
I don't think, honestly, I don't think that they should all be on him, but he carried the weight of that. But
yeah,
it's worth checking out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find themselves.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, Graney.
And this is Andy Triefenbach. You can find me on Twitter at T
T-R-I-E-F-Y, Treefy.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you may find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Or if you just want to hear us and not be able to talk back, you can do that at our website, RealSpoilers.com. We are also on iTunes or wherever finer podcasts are sold. And by sold, of course, we mean
given away by free.
Given away for free. So don't forget, while you're there, rate, review, and subscribe. It would helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. Did you see a movie recently in the last 2 or 3 years?
We probably
talked about it. So you can go there and find some old ones.
I heard there's an Age of Adeline podcast that
there
is just...
There is. I heard it's amazing.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it still like our fourth most popular podcast?
I think
podcast
it's our number ever? One.
Yeah, no, it's not number one, yeah. But it's like number three
for
or four.
Some reason, we have no idea why.
Was it just you and me?
No,
I think were you there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. Probably because if we've theorized before... If you want a podcast talking about Age of Adeline, we're probably the only one. So it doesn't take much to move the needle.
I just think Blake and Ryan just sit around on Friday nights and have a couple glasses of wine and listen to the Age of Adeline podcast.
That would make sense. That would make sense. So
Thanks, guys.
These guys are good.
So anyway, that's it for this.
I was like, Blake and your son?
I know. I was doing the same thing. I was like, what? It took me a minute to
realize what was going on there.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, that's disconcerting.
Yeah, a little bit.
You should work on
why
that.
Why are you allowing Blake to give your son wine?
Yeah. He calls it Jesus juice.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
So anyway, that's it for this week. On the next episode, I guess it's Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
So will this be our first Western?
No,
the Lone Ranger.
Did we do
True Grit? We didn't.
Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water, like a modern Western. Yeah. But not
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger is technically a Western.
Technically,
so,
I guess.
I guess we have done a Western before. So
so we know it will be better than that. So there's
we hope. You God for their sake.
There's no
and our sake.
Yeah. I mean, we know it will be better.
So anyway, that's coming up next week. We will tackle the Magnificent Seven. Until then, the giant's wife is lured into a tar pit. And I'm a black rainbow, and I'm an ape of God. I got a face that's made for violence upon, and I'm a teen distortion. Survived abortion, a rebel from the waist down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.